Tonight's sermon text is John 18:38. It's on the service folder at the top. It's on the insert to the service folder at the top. "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Tonight, the Lord brings you grace, peace, and mercy, and also truth from the one who is truth and gives us truth to use. I'm going to start out today by asking you a very silly question. You ready for it? How do you know for sure that the pew that you are sitting in is really there? Silly questions get silly answers. So I can almost hear the wheels turning in your head saying this. "Well, Pastor, it's really there because it's really there. Duh. Pastor, I can feel it. It holds me off the ground. It's really there. Pastor, it makes a sound when I move around in it. It's really there. I don't advise you doing this, but if you smelled it, you could really smell it. It'd be really there," right? We know things are really, truly there because we can sense them with our five senses, right? You can touch it. You can hear it. You can taste it. You can smell it. Though there are a few things in this world that you can't grasp with a hand, but they're really true, and you can grasp in like a heart or a head. Here's my example. 2 + 2 = 5, right? Right? No, you know I'm wrong. You know I'm wrong because you know you can grasp it in your head. 2 + 2 = 4. Or this one. Napoleon plus army equals revolution, right? You read it somewhere. Somebody taught you that somewhere. There are things in this world that you can't grasp with your senses, but you can grasp with a heart or with a mind. Ready for another real, real, real silly question? Is God's word true? Silly questions get super silly answers, so I can hear the wheels turning in your head. Pastor, yeah, of course, God's word is true. And yeah, you can't grasp it with a hand, right? You weren't there when the things were written down to see it. You didn't smell everything in the environment when things were happening in Jesus' life, but the Holy Spirit has worked it in your heart, so you can grasp it here, and you can grasp it here. But you know what? I'm really not spoiling this news for any of you when I tell you that for many people in this world, that's not really a silly question. For many people in this world, the things in God's Bible, the Word of God, that is true, it reads a whole lot like a math equation that just adds up to 5. It reads a whole lot like a historical fact that reads a whole lot more like fiction. During these evening Lent services, you've been seeing a few different pastors, and we've all been bringing you a message under one theme. The Son of God goes forth to war. And each pastor gets a theme underneath that theme. And mine is this, that the Son of God goes forth to war to fight against Satan's ally, the world. And Jesus goes forth to fight against this world that is fighting against God's truth. Today, it's really important as we think about John 8:38 and some of the surrounding verses there. It's important to think about this progression, that the Son of God goes forth to war to fight against Satan's ally, the world. And the world is fighting against God's truth, but Jesus is that truth. And Jesus is the truth that wins the war, but we keep fighting the battle. But God doesn't leave us empty-handed. He gives us a weapon to use. I don't think that I spoiled it for anybody when I told you that in 2020, this world fights against God's truth. Turn on the news or read a newspaper and you'll see this, right? But you know, this is absolutely nothing new. In John 18:38, Jesus is standing before a guy named Pontius Pilate, right? And you guys know this guy. He's a Roman governor. He had a lot of power. He had the power either to set Jesus free or the power to nail Jesus up on that tree, right? Jesus stood before Pilate, and right before these verses, Pilate had to ask Jesus this question. He said, "Jesus, I've heard the rumors. I've heard people say that you're a king. Are you? Is that who you are?" This was Jesus' response. Jesus said, "Pilate, you say that I'm a king, but I got to tell you about this. I tell you that everybody on the side of truth listens to me." Did you catch what Jesus did there? Jesus changed the conversation. He could have talked Pilate's ear off about how, yeah, he's a king of hearts and a king of heaven, but not a king of this world. But Jesus, right at this moment at least, he needed Pilate to understand that truth was on Jesus' side. Did you also catch this about what Jesus said? He said, "Anybody on the side of truth." He said, "Pick sides. Draw the battle line in the sand and pick the side that you're on. You can either be on the side of truth and Jesus and those who testify concerning the truth, Christians, or you can be on the other side of the battle line." And what's that going to be? The complete opposite. Lies. And what does the Bible say about lies, or chiefly the one who lies? The Bible says that the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and his native language is lies. So you can either be, draw the battle line and pick a side. You can either be on the side of truth and listen to Jesus, or you can be on the side of lies and listen to the devil. When the devil lies, he speaks his native language, and he can lie in real blatant, simple ways that are easy to pick out, like this one. Pick the fruit and eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You remember that lie, right? The devil can also lie in much more subtle ways. Ways like this. Let me explain it this way. The New York Times right now has an ad campaign out that uses this slogan: "The truth is worth it." So you can go to the New York Times homepage and you can see a whole section of their newspaper dedicated to this ad campaign. Or if you're a person that likes to go on YouTube like me, you can go there and you can find a trailer for this ad campaign, "The Truth is Worth It." And this is what you'll see if you watch the 2.5 minute trailer. You'll see a camera follow a reporter as they go to a war-torn country and bullets whiz past their face. You'll see a reporter go to archive after archive after archive and try to find the truth and finally find it at the very end. You'll see a reporter go to location after location after location to uncover the truth. And at the end of the trailer, when the lights dim, the last few words on the screen say this: "The truth is worth it." All for what kind of truth? To get an article that's going to show up on a newspaper, and in a day or in a week or in a month is going to be crumpled up and show up in a trash can. 2 weeks ago when I was working on this sermon, these were the headlines on the New York Times homepage. "Democratic debate debacle. Coronavirus spreads through Europe. Texas economy soars because of giant tacos. The truth is worth it." And I ask, is that truth worth bullets whizzing past heads? Is that truth worth spending time in archive after archive? Is that truth worth you sitting in a seat and spending all of your time reading it? The devil is a liar and the father of lies. The Bible also says this: "The things of this world are not from the Father, but they are from the world." Is it worth it to spend all of your time and all of your brain power and all of your effort on the things of this world? And I think you're going to answer no. Draw the battle line in the sand. You can either be on the side of truth and those who testify to the truth and Jesus, or you can be on the side of lies and devil and the devil's ally, the world. When Jesus was standing before Pilate that day and he talked about truth, this is what Pilate said. He said, "Well, what is truth?" Right? You remember this? The real ironic thing is that that day, The truth was standing right in front of Pilate. This is what Jesus has to say about him. He said this in another place in the book of John. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know what I love about Jesus' teaching? At least when I read it, I never hear him say something like this. Well, I guess. I never hear him say something like this. Well, maybe. I never hear him something like this. Well, I hope. You've read this too. This is how Jesus teaches. He says, truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, amen. When Jesus teaches, he teaches with authority and he teaches the truth. And this is the truth that he taught. He said, truly, truly, I tell you that this world is broken by sin. Truly, truly, I tell you, and I tell you today that so are you. Truly, truly, I tell you right now that you need help, and so do I. And truly, truly, I tell you that this guy, Jesus, is the one who truly brings the help. In another place in Scripture, the Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, truly, truly, there is no one who does good, not even one, except for one, a guy named Christ. Truly, truly, this is truth that's worth it, that Jesus truly lived a perfect life, and he truly died an innocent death, and he truly rose from the grave to pay for sin. This is truth that's worth it, isn't it? The Son of God goes forth to war, and he fights against a world that tries to tear God's truth down. But then he comes as the truth itself and wins the war. He might win the war, but the battles continue. The Bible also says this, that the devil prowls around still, presently, continually, like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. But God doesn't leave us empty-handed. He says that we don't fight with weapons of the world, but we fight with weapons that have the power to unseat dominions. And what is that power? Is it some drone strike or some fancy grenade or something like that? Of course not. But God gives us a weapon that is a lot more humble, but a lot more powerful. And the ironic thing is that it stands right in front of you. In white pages between two covers, it's simply, truly God's word. God's word truly, truly has the power to unseat dominions. Do you need proof of that? Truly, truly, I tell you that you believe in Jesus as your Savior. And in order to do that, the Holy Spirit had to unseat the dominion that sin holds on your heart. And you are living proof here today to truly, truly show me that God's word has real power. Do you need more proof? Truly, truly, I tell you that there are many more people still learning about God today, and the Holy Spirit is unseating this dominion of sin that holds in their heart. Do you need more proof? 2 weeks ago, a woman named Yuko Kajino walked into my office, a Buddhist woman. And she walked in, she got to know our church, and she said to me, Pastor, I've been living with Christians in this country my whole life. I understand Christians, but I don't understand Christianity. And so this is what I got to say to her. I said, Yuko, truly, truly, this world is broken. Yuko, truly, truly, so are you. I said, Yuko, truly, truly, Jesus lived and died and rose and bore the sins of the broken world on his shoulder. I said, truly, truly, Yuko, this is truth for you and for people. We talked for an hour and a half, and she left my office. Is she a Christian now? I doubt it. But you know what this Buddhist woman said to me, whose heart is a dominion that needs to be toppled? She said, Pastor, I'll be back. And I know she will be. God's word is a powerful weapon to use against the world that tries to break down God's truth. Because it tells you about the truth, Jesus, who won the war so we get to fight the battles. God's son goes forth to war. Amen.